Amen. Thank you, Eve. I really appreciate that devotional and just a really good couple insights that I think we do well in recognizing and just allow that to impact us. Yeah, it's good to be here this morning. Just excited, and certainly been good to worship together again, and just to recognize and to worship our Savior, our Redeemer, the Friend, our Friend. So this morning, I want to read out of 1 Corinthians 10. We're going to look at the first 12 verses here. And it talks about, the heading is Admonitions from Israel's History. And maybe how we can learn from what, how we can learn from the children of Israel. I think it says, well, let's read this and then we'll move on. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as some were, some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 3,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them were also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them were, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Now, according to this, these are wrote up so that we can learn from these. I guess just recognizing Moses here, or even through the Old Testament, Moses is a type of Christ. He is Christ in the Old Testament. In this going through the wilderness, he was their deliverer. They were baptized unto Moses. They were Moses' people. These are the people of Moses. They're Israelites, but they're baptized unto Moses, and I believe Moses was their leader. They looked to him, they grumbled to him, they complained to him. It was, and he is their leader. And it is good for us to consider just some of these things and how they can affect us in our day. And we talk about the world, and yet we recognize that the world is really can be in us. I mean, we talk about being unhindered from the world. And this was a couple of weeks ago, we were out in Ohio. Sunday mornings, we were there at the park. There was their church retreat there, and such a peaceful setting there, except the road crew had to be cleaning the trees along the road there that morning. And their saws were going, and their chippers were chipping, and I guess, personally, I just Boy, I'm glad I don't have to work Sundays. And, you know, I'm glad that doesn't, that I don't have to be bothered by work, and I'm glad I can be, you know, free. And I guess it just kind of hit me as I was thinking of that. You know, in our hearts, we could be working this morning. We could be meditating on things of work and maybe how we're going to fix that mess up we did last week and how things are going to pan out this week. We know we have a busy week. We have maybe trusses scheduled in 2 days and nothing's ready and all that things. And it could be hindering us right here this morning. And I guess all of a sudden it just God convicted me that, you know, just because they're working this morning, they maybe don't look at Sundays as a day of worship, but maybe they have another day that they set aside for worship or just meditating, and they might be freer this morning than what most of us could be, because we're being judgmental to them, and the Word says if we judge someone, we're going to be judged by that same judgment that we're judging them, and I don't believe that it is God's desire that we're sitting around in our Sunday morning pews judging others for what they're doing. I believe we can be very careful with that. And I think this chapter here, and even as we read this morning, we can look at Israel and just recognize how silly, or how can they, after such a great deliverance, it doesn't seem like it was very long after they were out of Egypt, and they're just murmuring and complaining and wanting to be back there eating garlic and onions. Who would want to eat garlic and onions and leeks? I mean, it's like there's nothing desirable of that. Why would you want to go back there? But, I mean, they had nothing else, I guess, and they just felt like that was security to them. So I think we can be careful that we, you know, judge them for being there, and yet at the same time, we've been delivered as well. And how often do we find ourselves wishing for some of those things or even desiring or maybe turning back? I think there's a great danger in turning back after maybe not here. It almost looked here like it was within months, because it was 3 months that they met at Mount Sinai, and it had been before that already. They were murmuring, complaining. And yet if we look at our lives, it could be a couple years, or it could be 4 or 5 years, and we find ourselves going back to what we know God delivered us from. And we end up there. And I guess I just realize that, you know, as we read this, we need to recognize where we stand today. The first account is in Numbers 11. Going to just look at these 5 different ones. The first one he mentions here is lusting. Going to read these accounts. Numbers 11, verses 1 through 6, verse 10, verse 18 to 20, and 31 to 34. And here, lusting always has an evil intent. Like, you don't lust after good things. It's, if you're caught up in lusting, there's an evil intent or a desire for something, even maybe a lot of just lusting after a lot of things. Numbers 11, verses 1 through 6. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses. And when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of that place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons, the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. Verse 10, then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. Verse 18, and then God spoke there anyway, and say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh, for ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days. But even a whole month until it come out of your nostrils, out at your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you, because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? I go to verse 31. And there went forth a wind from the Lord, and brought quails from the sea, and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, and as it were a day's journey on the other side round about the camp, and as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. And the people stood up at all that day and all that night and all the next day, and they gathered the quails. And he that gathered least gathered 10 homers. And they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. And he called the name of that place Kibroth Hattava, because there they buried the people that lusted. Now you think about here, not just long ago, these people were in Egypt crying out for deliverance. And God told them to put the blood, to apply the blood, and all who did were saved. It would be a very good illustration of being born again or getting saved. We apply the blood, we ask Christ in the blood of Christ. And yet here we are a couple months later burying people that were lusting. And that's such a sad testimony. And I believe it is that way today when we get born again and we get delivered out of our challenges, out of our sin, just out of the depth of ourself, really. And yet we are a testimony to people, and God has to kill us, or God has to smite us. He smote the people with a very great plague, and they had to be buried because they lusted. And they actually gave it a name, because there they buried the people that lusted. And it was not what God brought them out to do. He wanted these people for himself. And his desire was that these people would come out of Egypt and find a way. And yet their heart was just back in Egypt. And I guess just thinking now about the parable of the sower, how sometimes that happens. All we want is out of this. We just want out of this. And yet, as soon as we're out of it, we want back in. And we end up there. The next one is Exodus 32. It talks about idolaters. Exodus 32, 1 to 14. Start there. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as far as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in your ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be the gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it. They have sacrificed it unto you and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, Why does thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants to whom thou swearest by thine own self and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. That is an amazing part of the story. How God repented of the evil that he had intended to do to Israel. But I guess I just see Moses here again as Christ, just a type of Christ standing in the gap for the people of Israel. And if you think about your own life and think about how many times has Jesus Christ stood in the gap for you? If not, God's wrath would have cut us off. That is Jesus Christ. It says in one of the epistles, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. So for the sake of Christ, God forgives us. And here, for the sake of Moses and just his pleading, his intercession for Israel, God forgave them. And he repented of the evil that he intended to do against his people. Are we willing to stand in the gap? Verse 26 through 35. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp and slay every man his brother and every man his companion and every man his neighbor. Now this is a little bit of a contradiction to just what we read. Moses here was pleading with God to spare his people. And yet I think those who were not on the Lord's side had to be put away with. There had to be consequences for the evil that was going on. And I believe it was right for Moses to take care of that so that these things need to... And the children of Levi, did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. For Moses had said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. And this is really the atonement. Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. That's amazing. Moses was just there. He was standing in the gap, and he just wanted to be, he was part of Israel. Israel were his people. And if you destroy my people, basically he's saying, I want to get, I'm destroyed with them or whatever. I mean, he's putting himself right here. And it's just amazing that Moses was interceding for the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. And look what God said. Therefore now go, lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. And the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron made. There's consequences for sin. And you're like, we'd never build a golden calf. I mean, for sure not. Why would we? We don't build altars to worship them. And yet, I guess I just had to ask myself, do we build altars? Do we build altars and actually worship? I think we can be very careful that we don't get caught up in this day that we live in. What are we portraying? What do we desire when we post things? What are we looking for? Are we looking for praise or honor? Are we looking for some kind of maybe a response that would make us feel like someone? Or are we really? What are we building? Are we building some kind of an altar around ourselves, around our community, around whatever it might be? It's going to have to go according to the word. These things will not stand. These were the people of God. I'm not talking about the Hittites and the Amorites and those. This is the people of God. He's talking to the people of God here. And I believe we can be very careful how we look at this is just the children of Israel. We are the children of God this morning. And God is speaking to us in this very same way, according to Corinthians. It might be kind of in a different way, but it's the same. It's the same lusting, the same idolatry, and it just looks so much more spiritual, maybe you'd say, or so much better. And yet in God's eyes, it's going to be dealt with the same way. It's going to have to be cut off. The next one is fornicators, Numbers 25. The sin of fornication must be dealt with very harshly if we want God's blessing. Verse 1, 1 through 13. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto their sacrifices, their gods. And the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal-peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one his men that were joined unto Baal-peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation, took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel, and those that died in the plague were 24,000. 24,000 people had to die that day because of their sin, committing whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And yeah, we maybe don't go out into the world and we physically get caught in whoredom or fornication in this way. And yet the Bible is strong against committing adultery. And I think it talks about it in Romans 7, just brings a very practical illustration of divorce there, of how that always, and yet he says, my people. I forget how it says there. You know, when we get married to Christ, we must put away the old. Because if we get married to, the death of one brings freedom to get married to another. So therefore, when our old man dies and we get married to Christ, we get born again. If we again go back and mess around in the world and in our own things, we're committing adultery. We're committing fornication. And here it's just simply talking about how he got the daughters of Moab came and caused the children of Israel to come unto them and to offer sacrifices at the altars of their gods. And I guess, how much more today? How much today is in us? How much in us is desiring to be out there with the daughters of Moab and to dress and to act like them? And how can this be any more pleasing to God than it was then? It has to be dealt the same way. There has to be a death to that. God is going to bring an end to it. And I believe we need to be very, we have to know where we stand. God said, all those who commit fornication, all in Revelation 22, it talks about the people who will be cast into the lake of fire. And it's idolaters and fornicators and those who believe a lie and whatever else it is. Are we committing fornication in our day with the heart in us, our heart's desires of being out there? We want to be there. We want to be like them. We want to act like them. We want to be part of that. We must be separate. Tempters or tempted, they tempted God. Exodus 17. Here again, Moses leads the people to the rock. 1-7. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel thy rod wherewith thou smitest the river. Take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. And thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of that place Massah and Meribah, because the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? And then we have another one on Numbers 21. Verse 1-9. And when King Arad the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities, and he called the name of that place Hormah. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to come past the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way, and the people spake against God and Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us out of Egypt to die in this wilderness? How many times have they said this? They're just wondering all the time, why did you bring us out here to die? God didn't bring them out there to die. He brought him out there to show himself strong. They just didn't get it. For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people. And much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a certain serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. But again, just a complaining. Is this all we have? Is this all there is? Just manna. You know, surely there's got to be something better. And yet they were bitten, and many people died because of the snake bites. And I guess that there again, Moses hung that rock or that snake up there for people to look at, that there could be healing. In the same way today, when you find yourself in a place of unsatisfaction, if you're not satisfied with just the Word of God and you're loathing something else or you're desiring more, We need to repent of that. God gave him that manna to sustain him through the wilderness, through hard times, through a desert. Even though they complain, he still fed them. Where are we at today? Then another one is murmur. Numbers 15, I think. Maybe it's 13. Yeah. Numbers 15, starting in verse 37. All the way through verse 35 of Numbers 16. And this is murmuring against God's anointed here. And just a very great, I think, we need to be very, we need to recognize. We need to listen. And the Lord spake unto Moses, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they may put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a whoring. That ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, the sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. I think he knew here was a real rebellion. I think he just fell on his face. He spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him who he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. This do, take you censers, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord does choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. And Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi. Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? And he brought thee near to him and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee. And seek ye the priesthood also? For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that ye murmur against him? And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, we will not come up. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us? Here they're actually calling the land of Egypt a land of milk and honey. And they were there in slavery. Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. And Moses was very wroth, and said unto the Lord, respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. And Moses said unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they, and Aaron tomorrow. And take every man his censer, and put incense in them, and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers, thou also and Aaron, each of you his censer. And they took every man his censer, and put fire in them, and laid incense thereon, and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the congregation, Get you up from about the tabernacle of Kor, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went out, Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, Depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. So they got up from the tabernacle of Kor, Dathan, and Abiram, on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives, their sons, and their children. And Moses said, Hereby ye shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them in my own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, Lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord, and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. I think we can be very careful that we don't come up against God's anointed. I believe it's a very serious sin, and God hates it. Verse 41 through 49 here yet, others complain and die, it says, But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses, against Aaron, saying, Ye have killed the people of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I would think if I was in the midst of a congregation that saw complete families in their houses fall into a pit and be buried alive, I would hope by the next morning I would be a little bit careful what I'd say to them. It's amazing. But these people's heart was turned against Moses. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, Ye have killed the people of the Lord. And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Get ye up from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, Take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. And really, Moses and Aaron, they were told to separate themselves. And yet, here again, they just got down on their faces right there in front of the people. And God spared at least some of the people. But Aaron did. Aaron took as Moses commanded, ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. And they that died in the plague were 14,700, besides them that died about the matter of Korah. So here we can see there was close to 15,000 people died in this one incident because of a few men. Well, it was more than a few. They had 250 princes, I guess. There was close to 300 people had risen up against the Lord's anointed and had made themselves. They were determined that Moses is taking way too much on himself. Imagine if we would Or do we, I guess? Do we do that with Christ? Do we kind of think we'd like to be in charge sometimes? Do we see people? Do we see people or our leaders? Do we see our leaders as somebody who is continuously thinking, we got to be more holy, or, you know, we need to do this and we need to do that. And yet they hear from God. And they're just portraying the message. I mean, Moses was just saying what God told him. Moses was just telling the people. And that's what they wanted in the beginning. Moses to do that. They wanted him to be with God, and then he can tell them. And yet that's, their heart was continuously murmuring and lusting and complaining. And I guess I just see as we, you know, where are we today? What are we, what could we learn maybe from others that have gone before us? What could we learn? Or do we? If somebody has, if somebody who was, you know, in sin and he got delivered, do we, are we willing to learn from them and not go there? I just remember just for specifically one thing. When we were fresh Christians and as Willies were mentoring us, and we talked, one evening we specifically talked about music, and I just remember he shared with us that country music breeds rebellion in us. You know, we wouldn't look at that, or we don't maybe know that or whatever. But I know when he said that, I was like, well, then why would we listen to country music? I mean, if somebody knows or somebody has studied or if your leaders have experienced that or whatever, if somebody has gone through that, then why do we have to flirt with that? You know, and it was just, that was just one simple thing. And I know also, I'll just share a testimony from when we were working up at Laurelwood. We had a framing project up there for, it was a, like a double three-story 20 or 40, you know, I forget, it was big, it was like a 7-month framing project, and I was there as kind of the framer from the area's right-hand man or whatever, just to help him, and he had kind of been by himself, but yet he was known to manage big projects like this. So he had put an ad out on Craigslist for about 3 to 4 guys to help frame. And of course, that's what we got. And so these young men, and you know, they came, they knew how to frame, most of them. They were easy to work with, but they listened to rock. And they weren't bashful about it, but me and Jimmy would have been there a lot too, and we just started sharing with him different things, and one night we actually had him over at our apartment for a Bible study, and we had a good relationship, and I didn't mention their music because it didn't really faze me, actually. I mean, I knew that's not what I wanted, but we were able to minister to them and share with them, and they respected us. And then the next project was the drywallers, and they listened to rap. I mean, they would probably say it was Christian rap, but I don't know if there's anything like that. And that didn't bother me either. I mean, I knew that. I didn't want that. It was, I don't know if you ever listened to rap, but there's nothing soothing about it. So anyway, and then as we were doing the final parts of the project, it was just a few of us, and there was a lot of, you'd say, contemporary Christian music played, and I began to take a liking to this, and I was like, you know, this is about half, you know, good. And I found myself on the way home usually, you know, seeking local stations as I drive. I had a little over a 2-hour drive, and at different times I had to change stations because I'd run out of the one frequency. But anyway, I guess one day I realized that I'm losing my sensitivity to the Spirit. And so maybe we should have went there too, Willie. You don't listen to contemporary music because it will dull your senses to the Spirit. And but anyway, I think if we would do well in being able to learn from other people, and I believe that's what the Word is teaching us, to learn from others. And that way we don't have to go through that, and we don't have to experience those things. Because if God says we shouldn't do it, or He might say it through someone else, how simple is it to just quit it? And I remember also early on in our Christian walk, even before we left the Amish, we had been involved in some theophostic counseling. And I just remember one Sunday afternoon as we were fellowshipping somewhere at somebody's house, he had just shared his concern about where that could take people. And he didn't even know. I don't know if he knew we were in it or not. He might have. But we just decided we're going to go home and cancel our next meetings. We had different sessions scheduled for the next couple weeks. And I am so glad we did. Because there was years later, we would talk with people who were still involved, trying to figure out how to get right, how to live victory, how to live in victory. And it's just like, that is not the answer. We cannot counsel ourselves out. God is the counselor. He is the mighty God, the Prince of Peace. He is our counselor. I believe we have people around us. We have brothers and sisters, our leaders, our pastors, are to help us. But it must be about forgiveness. We must learn how to forgive. And that's not how that counseling worked. It was not about forgiveness. And I'm just so grateful that we took that advice. I just want to encourage us to take advice and learn from others. I believe we do well and spare ourselves from a lot of evil and destruction. God bless you.